Bibles, the reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 7, found on page 972 of the Church Bibles, or 1,506 of the large print. Matthew 7, verses 15 to 23. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Emily. Well, let's keep that passage open in front of us, and I'll lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Praise you, Father, for those words that we've just sung, that your word is indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. We praise you that your word is living and it is active, and that it is sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirits, joint and marrow. We praise you, Father, that nothing is hidden from your sight, and that your word reveals everything and speaks directly to us, to each of us this evening. And Father, we pray that as we come to look at your word now, you would indeed enlighten our feet and our paths, that we would live rightly for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was out running yesterday, as is my wont on a Saturday morning, and I have this uneasy feeling every time I'm out on a Saturday morning running. It's because of my running shoes. Now, here they are. Now, I got these running shoes off eBay, dirt cheap, from a seller with a very low rating. And I'd never had any like this before. And every time I put them on, I have this niggling feeling. I don't know if they're real or if they're fake. Now, that explains a lot. It's why I run so slowly. If you've been watching me, not that you would come out watching me running, but if you happened to have seen me running, you would have thought, he runs very slowly, and this is why. It's the shoes. I don't know if they're real or if they're fake. It's hard to tell. A couple of years ago, Google noticed an increase in the number of websites which were claiming to offer free antivirus protection. But actually, the number of these websites, in fact, all these ones they noticed, were offering fake antivirus protection. They look good. They look very sophisticated. They promised to clean out your systems and protect you. And people trusted them, bought them, downloaded them. And these sites, this software, contained the very viruses which it was claiming it was going to protect you from. And it wiped out the system and did untold damage. And so what Google decided is that they warned people. It wasn't easy to hear, but they issued these warnings about these fake antivirus sites so that people like you and me, particularly people like me who have got absolutely no idea how to use a computer, would know, don't click on the link. You've heard the warning. Now, I reckon as we come together this evening, I think it's really hard to hear warnings, isn't it? Particularly as adults. I don't know about you, I don't like being warned. And actually, it's hard for me to preach it this evening as well. Here we are, gathered, a group of adults. It's hard to warn one another. And I reckon we've got to understand, as we come and as we hear Jesus this evening warning us, I reckon we've got the key question that all of us are going to have to ask. What's going on as Jesus warns us like this? Is it, manipulative scaremongering? Or is it an alarm bell? A loving warning from a loving ruler? Manipulative scaremongering or a loving warning? We're all going to have to make that decision this evening as we look at what Jesus says. You see, Jesus, if you like, wants to do what Google had done. He wants to warn us. And warn us because he loves us. He loves us so much, he warns us. And really the warning is just one thing. Beware. Fakes look real. Now, he's not so worried about Nike shoes where Nike is spelt wrong or software that you download for the computer. No, much more serious this evening. Jesus wants to warn us about fakes. Fake Christianity, really, which looks so real. He loves us so much, he really does, that he's going to warn us this evening. It may be that you're here as someone who's, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Maybe you're looking in. Maybe you've been here a few weeks with us. It's brilliant. It's brilliant that you're here this evening. It's a great evening to come. You see, what we're doing really is we're holding up fake Christianity from that which is authentic and genuine and real. So it's brilliant that you're here this evening because you get to see, if you like, the difference and so that you're not deceived and you're not manipulated. Jesus wants to show us the real from the fake. And in love, he wants to warn us this evening. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat his words. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't kind of hold anything back. But I want to say at the beginning that I think that's a good thing. I think our generation is fed up of spin, isn't it? We're fed up of people. We know when we're being had, and we're fed up of spin. And I think Jesus loves us so much, he just tells it to us straight this morning. And so we're going to launch straight in. Two warnings that Jesus gives us here at Platt this evening. And we've got to work out manipulative scaremongering or loving alarm bell. The first one is this. Jesus says, beware fake teachers. Do you see that in verse 15 as Emily read it out? Jesus says, verse 15, watch out for false prophets. Watch out. Pay attention. Be careful. Be on a high state of alert. If you like, the red light is flashing on the dashboard. And what is it that we've got to watch out for? What do you see? False prophets. There are teachers in the church who are fake. And Jesus is warning us against them. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what comes into your mind when you think of fake prophets or false teachers or whatever it is. I think of a kind of a slightly comedy figure. He's got his pitchfork in his hand. He's wearing a gown, no doubt a red mask. He's kind of cackling and howling. And it's all a bit of a laugh and a bit of comedy and a bit of fun. And we can spot it a mile off. I don't know if that's what you think of when you think of false prophets or this kind of threatening language. Well, the reason that Jesus is warning us this evening is precisely because they don't have a pitchfork and they don't have a little name badge which says where they're coming from. Jesus says in verse 15, they come to you in sheep's clothing. That is that they look genuine. They look real. They look like one of us. And the sheep, the rest of the flock, cannot tell that they're not sheep. If he was here an individual, he'd wear a suit or a dog collar. He'd be the brilliant Bible speaker. She would be a great Bible study leader. Reverend this, bishop that, just like us. If you went to their church, it would be just like us. Good sermons, careful with the Bible, ministry of prayer, evangelistic outreach in the local cafe and the local coffee shop, good music, just like us. Jesus says they look like sheep. They're deceptive, but not just deceptive, they're dangerous. Did you see that in verse 15? Jesus says, inwardly, they're ferocious wolves. Now, I'm no farmer, and I don't know if you are, but it doesn't take much imagination, does it, to work out what the wolf does to the sheep. I guess for those of us who are slightly more non-rural, I don't know what the equivalent illustration is. You know, you sometimes read those stories, don't you, about in the Afghan army of insurgents who purport to be part of the Afghanistan army. They look genuine. They look like genuine soldiers, but they're actually insurgents. And you read about these gun-wielding massacres. And that's what Jesus has in mind when he says ferocious wolf, carnage. Blood, corpses, death and destruction. This isn't huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down and everyone laughs. No, this is savage. And I think it's the contrast which I find so hard to get my head around, if I'm perfectly honest. I imagine these people would be lovely people, gentle, kind, friendly, warm. We'd love being around them. And they're savage wolves. I don't know how you find this. I genuinely find this hard to get my head around. Jesus is warning us because he loves us, and he says, beware of false prophets. They look like sheep, but actually, It's the devil wearing a dog collar. Deceptive, dangerous, but not just that. Actually, Jesus says they're everywhere. Later in Matthew 24, Jesus says plainly that in these last days there will be many false prophets. Google reckoned that there are 11,000 websites selling or giving away fake antivirus software. Well, that's nothing. Many who are fake teachers. The university will be full of them. The diocese will be full of them. The church will be full of them. And elsewhere in the New Testament, we find that it's not just a problem from out there. No, actually, they come from within. Do you know, I find this hard. I find it hard to get my head around. The vicious wolf, Jesus says, he may be here this evening. Be an SBS leader, a house group leader, on the youth group team. He could even be on the staff or even preach this evening. Jesus says, beware. I love you so much, my precious sheep. Beware. Beware of fake teachers. Is it manipulative scaremongering or is it a loving warning? I reckon we've got to make that decision. Just as an aside, if you are here as someone who's a visitor this evening, as I said, it's brilliant that you're here. And I wonder if you've noticed the assumption that Jesus makes as he does this. He's made a big assumption. It is that there is real truth and that there is real error and it really matters. Did you notice that in Jesus' teaching? It may be that you're here this evening saying, look, Christianity, that's fine for you. It can be true for you, but not for me. Jesus wants to question that. And he says, no, real truth, real error, and it really matters. If you are here as a visitor, do come and speak to us afterwards and engage with what Jesus is saying. Now, I reckon at this point, I've just got so many questions. I don't know about you. Beware fake teachers. I've just got questions that flood into my head. What should I do? How should I confront them? How long should I wait? Will it be obvious? Will it be subtle? Where do they come from? Why does Jesus allow them? How do I know whether they're a false teacher or not? How do I guard ourselves? I don't know about you. There's just the questions come into my mind over and over again, flooding out. And what's fascinating is Jesus doesn't really answer them. Did you notice that? He doesn't really answer them at all. The only one that he begins to answer is how we can spot these people. And even then, he doesn't give us a really full answer. In verse 16 to 20, he basically says, by their fruit you will spot them. And he doesn't even expand what that means. He's just saying, if you watch their lives, over time, not immediately, over time, you'll see these things in their words and in their life. He's curiously vague, isn't he? Why is he saying this? Why is Jesus saying this evening? I've said it's because he loves us, and that's true, but why is he telling us this evening? I reckon it's because he's warning us not to be naive as a church. I don't know, if you were here last week, do you remember Jesus gave that description of the broad and the narrow path? There are two ways to live our lives, on the broad road and on the narrow road. And I reckon some of us might have gone away thinking, that's actually pretty easy. It's pretty clear. Black, white, broad, narrow, Christian, non-Christian, church, world. It's pretty clear. And Jesus is saying this evening, actually, just hold on. It's not quite as clear-cut as we might think. It's not just broad and narrow. It's that within the within the visible narrow path, there'll be people who look like they're on the narrow path, but actually by their words and their lifestyle and their teaching are teaching people to live on the broad path. Do you see that? Jesus is saying it's not quite so black and white. It's not just broad and narrow. Even within the church, there will be fake teachers. And Jesus is warning us. I don't know if you're into kind of all kind of spy stuff and MI5. I found out recently that MI5 have got this kind of ongoing terrorist threat level alert. It used to be called the Bikini State, which apparently was made up by a random computer, which I find hard to believe, but apparently it was. There you go. And the state is the kind of the threat level that the country is now under. Low, terrorist attack is unlikely. Critical, terrorist attack is expected imminently. The Americans have DEFCON. If you've watched West Wing, you hear them go on about it the whole time. Currently, apparently, we're at substantial. There's a strong possibility. Now, I wonder, if you arrived at Platt this evening, what you would have said the threat level is for false teachers, for fake teachers. What would you reckon the threat level is? I imagine most of us, myself included, would have said low, moderate. I don't know. Is that what you'd have thought? That's what I would have thought. I wonder, the question is, do we believe Jesus? Do we believe Jesus when he says, beware fake teachers? Or do we think he's just hamming it up and exaggerating? Look, three implications before we go on to the second point this evening. Do we believe what Jesus is saying about fake teachers? Three implications, and I think the first one is this. At Platt, are we on this high state of alert? That's what watch out literally means in verse 15. Be on a high state of alert. Don't be naive. Not just leaders of the church, all of us, don't be naive. Now, of course, Jesus, we mustn't be judgmental. Now, chapter 7, verse 1, he's already said that, hasn't he? We're not to be judgmental, but are we on alert? Do we have, if you like, the, I don't know how to describe it really, the sober realism that this is what church is like? Or are we secretly thinking, nah, it wouldn't happen to Platt, wouldn't happen to us here? Predictably, this is all a bit negative, as ever. We're all right. Or are we on a high state of alert? Secondly, are we careful who we listen to? If this is true, are we careful who we listen to? The blogs we read, the sermons we download. Now, sometimes we're going to see this obviously, aren't we? People who obviously say you can live on the broad road and don't need to change. You see it in the teaching of, someone like a Rob Bell or a Steve Chalk. It's just obvious there. You know, saying you don't need to change your sexual practices. But actually, it's much closer than that. Do we believe that there are fake teachers? Does it affect who we partner with? What committees we're on? What summer conferences we go on? Actually, it's even closer than that, isn't it? It's even closer. The sermons here at Platt, as I'm preaching this evening, are you careful how you listen? Is your head in the Bible? Do you have your Bible open thinking, is this what Jesus is saying? The great Bishop J.C. Ryle said that the best defense against error is a laity who know their Bibles well. Laity, he just means all of us. Are we careful who we're listening to? Is what is being said from the pulpit just what Jesus is saying? It's why we need to read and know our Bibles really well. It's why being involved in a small group is so important. Beware of fake teachers. But I think there's a third warning as well. And I just wonder whether at Platt this is something which affects us. You see, as Jesus warns us, well, we also need to warn each other as well. I heard a story of a pastor recently who retired, by the sounds of it, a very humble guy. And as he retired, he reflected on his ministry. And he looked back at his ministry and he found that after he left, a lot of people drifted away from the gospel and drifted away from Jesus. And he was asked, what happened? What happened in your ministry so that people drifted away from the gospel? And very humbly, actually, he said, I always told people what they should believe, but my great mistake was that I never told them what not to believe. He said, I didn't warn them. So what happened is the people couldn't spot the fakes and were naive. They thought this would never happen to us. And so they were swept away by fake ministries and by fake teachers. You see, we need warning. I need to be warned. And love demands it. You see, this is why at Platt we need to warn each other. This is why of our preachers we must expect them to warn us. Of course, there's all sorts of other things. Of course, we need to. There's a whole spectrum of ways that we teach, but part of that needs to be we warn each other. In our small groups, one-to-one, we begin to ask ourselves this question. Are we warning each other? If you're a visitor from another church, or for any some reason you're having to leave Platt and go to another church, we need to ask the question, is the church warning us? Do we believe Jesus when he says, beware fake teachers, scaremongering or the most loving warning? In our house, I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you've realized that a problem in your life is actually much closer to the bone than really you thought it was. I had this week. In our family, one of the things that we're really strict on with our kids, Rachel and I, my wife, is when they're disrespectful to us and when they're insubordinate and rude to us as parents. We're really strict on that. And Emily, my daughter, and I were playing in the living room, and she said, can I have some music on? So I said, yeah, of course. Go and turn the stereo on. So she goes over to the stereo and says, oh, the stereo won't work. The stereo won't turn on. And then she says, sighing, she says, oh, it is irritating when Rachel turns the stereo off at the socket. And I was just about to launch in. I was just about to launch in and say, Emily, that is rude. That is disrespectful. That is a hurtful way to speak about your mother and my wife. And then I realized she's three. Where on earth has she heard anyone say It is irritating when Rachel leaves the stereo on at the socket. Emily was not the problem. I was the problem, and my delightful daughter had copied me, and I had found myself in it. The problem was not out there. The problem was me, and she had copied me. That happened this week. And if you like, as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is peeling the layers back, layer by layer, and it's getting closer and closer to our heart. He began by saying, two roads, broad and narrow, which one are you on? Then he peels back the second layer this evening, and he says, even within the visible church, you'll have true teachers and fake teachers. And he says to me as a preacher, Will, which one are you? And he says to all of us, who are you listening to? But you see, still it's out there. Even if out there is within our building, still we point the finger elsewhere. Thirdly, Jesus comes, if you like, he peels back another layer and he exposes our hearts. And I wonder whether for all of us, this is where it really gets painful. And I think for me, this is where it gets really sobering. You see, Jesus doesn't just say, beware fake teachers. He says, beware being a fake Christian. And this is where it gets painful, and he asks unsettling questions. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out many demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. They're sobering words, aren't they? They really are. Jesus is saying within the evangelical church, we need to beware being fake Christians. These Christians, their creed is correct. They say, Lord, Lord. They sing, O precious sight, and thy word is a lamp unto my feet. They sign the doctrinal basis and they agree with all the SBS talks. Their creed is correct. And their experience really is impressive, isn't it? They prophesy. They carry out exorcisms. They do mighty works. And what's fascinating is Jesus doesn't deny that. He's not saying you didn't do them. He's not denying it. They really did mighty works. They did amazing miracles. They led people to Christ. They were on the university CU. They led a small group. They were on a welcome team. They taught at youth group. They had profound and deep spiritual experiences. Experience was impressive. And Jesus, the most loving man ever to walk on the whole face of the earth, he says that they're fake. You can barely believe it, can you? And not just them. Verse 22, which I think is the most sobering word in the whole Sermon on the Mount, the first word, there are many. Many like this. Verse 21, who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I find it hard to describe in words how sobering this is. Verse 23, Jesus says to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me. Can I just put it frankly like this? Jesus is saying at Platt this evening, there may be many for whom their Christianity is pretend. That's what Jesus is saying, isn't it? Yes, you've grown up in a Christian family, always been to church. Yes, you spent all 3 years of your life coming to Platt. Yes, you've been coming to Platt for decades. You've never known any other church, on the PCC, on the staff, on every compass group hike. And Jesus says, I never knew you. And what's so unsettling, is that these people seem genuinely surprised by Jesus' verdict. Do you see that? Now, again, the questions flow, don't they? And it might be that we're going to have to help each other afterwards, deal with this and talk to each other, because the questions flow. Why didn't they realize? Why didn't Jesus show them? What are the signs, etc.? And so we go on. And again, Jesus doesn't answer. But he does do one thing, and he gives us a hint, and I wonder if this is key for us. You see, they did great things, and they had wonderful experiences, but it looks like they thought that they were Christian because of the things that they did. Did you see that in verse 22 and 23? In your name, we did all these things. Their confidence is in their spiritual CV. They're evangelicals because they came to the Diocesan Evangelical Fellowship. They're Christian because they serve at Platt. They're saved because they led other people to Christ. Do you see what they're trying to do? When Jesus says to them, "Why should I accept you?" they just list off a whole ream of things that they've done. And Jesus warns us, beware. Beware being a fake Christian. Now I wonder whether we just need to press the pause button for a moment, because pastorally this is really significant, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's unsettling. It really is unsettling for all of us, I imagine. Jesus says there will be many who think they're Christian but not, but also that there will be many who are genuine Christians. Now the great danger, the big danger of a sermon like this is that the wrong people hear the wrong thing. Those who are genuinely Christian go away shaken and broken and doubting. And those who are fake Christians continue oblivious, still counting the bricks on the wall because you're not really listening. How do we respond to this warning? How do we work out who's who? Well, can I give you an illustration? And it may help. And it is this. Now, probably just worth saying, I'm not making any comment about smoking or anything like that. It's just an illustration. You know what it's like on the cigarette packets? You get these warnings, big warnings, that are deliberately there to scare you. Now, everyone hears the warning. Now, whether you're a smoker or a not, or a sometimes or a never, everyone hears the warning. And how you respond to the warning shows what you're going to do. You see, some say, yeah, I've seen the warning 100 times before. I must get my husband to stop and light up the next cigarette. And they miss the warning, which was aimed at them. My wife, golly, she's got to stop smoking. The rugby team, I've got to persuade them. Others see the warning and think, yeah, that's right. I do need to stop, actually, and throw the packet in the bin. Others who are not smokers and have never been smokers, well, they read it and they're reminded of the danger, and they continue not smoking, if you like. Do you see that? They never were going to, but they hear the warning and think, yes, that's why I don't. I'll throw them in the bin, or I won't buy them. You see, everyone hears. That's the point I'm trying to make. But everyone responds differently. And I wonder if it's a bit similar with Jesus' teaching this evening. You see, all of us hear this warning, and all of us, I imagine, are unsettled by it. But those who are fake Christians, who aren't genuinely Christians, well, they're kind of unmoved by this. I don't need to hear this. I'm glad Sheila's here, but I'm not too bothered. Some, by God's grace this evening, will hear this warning and think, that's me. That is me. My Christianity is pretend. I think that God will accept me because I do all these good things. I'm fake and I'm pretend. But there are others here who are genuine Christian, and I guess the majority, who hear the warning, who find it unsettling, and who examine themselves. And we find that it strips away our false confidence, and we cry out to Jesus again as our only hope. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's that as we all hear the warning, it's that the response is never neutral. We'll all do one of two things. As we hear the warning, either it'll lead us to the Lord Jesus and to cling to the cross all the more, and we'll be even more grateful for the cross. Or, as we hear the warning, in defensiveness and anger and in seeking to justify ourselves, we'll move further into independency and hypocrisy and self-reliance. So I wonder if the way that we kind of process Jesus' teaching here is to kind of think of it like this. How have you responded to this warning in your own heart, just in the last 7 minutes or so? How have you responded? Has it been a response of defensiveness and anger? I'm going to be the first to speak to him afterwards. Is it that you're thinking, I'm fine, this is for someone else? Because I want to gently say, if that's you, then Jesus could be warning you this evening. On the flip side, if you're here thinking, this is terrifying, this causes me to worry. Am I really trusting in Jesus? Yes, I am trusting in Jesus, but am I sure? If those kind of questions are going on in your head, I want to say that's a healthy sign and that's encouraging. Because what the warning is doing is it's leading you back to the Lord Jesus. And to you, if you're worried and nervous and you found this unsettling, that's a really healthy sign. And I'd say to you, keep trusting in Jesus. You see, clear to have the distinction, Jesus is not robbing us of assurance. He's really not. He's not here to rob us of assurance. He is robbing us of false assurance. Do you see the difference? He's not here to rob us of assurance. He's really not. He's leading us back to the cross. He is here to rob us of false assurance. And he's questioning, is your assurance, is your trust in the Lord Jesus or somewhere else? How do we respond to this? There's one giveaway line which we're going to finish with, and I think this might help us. Jesus says in verse 21, "Lord, not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of God, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You see, anyway, this is the key that unlocks it. What is the difference between the fake Christian and the real Christian? Well, it is to do the will of God the Father. Now, we're going to look at this in much more detail next week, so please do come back next week. But in the Sermon on the Mount, we already know what it means to do the will of God the Father. It doesn't mean to do lots of good works. It means the opposite. It means to admit this evening that we've got nothing, that we're poor in spirit, to admit our moral bankruptcy, and to come to the Lord Jesus again. And you see, this evening, as we take the Lord's Supper, it's a perfect reminder for us. You see, in the verse 23, the warning is, "Away from me, you evildoers." And you see, what happened when Jesus died on the cross is those exact words were said to him and not to us. As Jesus died, he took the punishment that we deserve. He, if you like, was cast out of God's presence so that we need not be. You see, this evening, as we take bread and wine, as we're reminded of the death of Jesus, this isn't robbing us of assurance. No, it's doing the opposite. It's forcing us to come back to the cross of Jesus and to admit that he is our only hope and that we're not acceptable to God because we're good or because we're religious or because we're committed or because we're involved or because of our past experiences. No, we're accepted to God because Jesus died on the cross for us. You see, it's a genuine warning. It is a genuine warning for us this evening that there may be some here who need to stop pretending. But also, as the rest of us hear the warning, it's a wonderful encouragement this evening to come back to Jesus, who says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And it's a promise for us all to grasp and take hold of and cling to this coming week. Let's pray together as we respond to Jesus and his warnings to us. Jesus, we sometimes find it very hard to hear these words. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are loving and gracious and kind. Thank you that you don't speak in spin. We don't speak to trick us, but that you love us. And Father, we pray that we'd listen to these warnings this evening and that we would respond by coming back to the death of the Lord Jesus and clinging to the cross. We thank you that Jesus was the one who was cast away. He was the one who was thrown into the fire so that we might be forgiven and that we might know you. And we pray that we would heed this warning in love and that we would continue to trust and obey and come to you day by day in poverty of spirit, we ask. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.